Joining us now by telephone, I'm Emily Rooney. This is Boston Public Radio, is Congressman Barney Frank. As many of you know out there listening, he's been an advocate for assault ban weapons, extended waiting periods for guns, closing the so-called gun loophole, gun show loophole in the wake of last week's tragedy. He's back at it. And you know, I know you're leaving Congress at the end of the session, Barney Frank, but that's not going to change your passion for this.
No, and in fact, I've been very pleased that the Democratic caucus of the House yesterday, there was a great unanimity of sentiment that we were going to move on this. And I'm very pleased that some of my colleagues who've represented areas where pro-gun sentiment, I shouldn't say pro-gun, anti-gun control, because when we talk about reasonable regulation of guns, that doesn't make you anti-gun. And there's a genuine movement here. Look, I've been, in the past, I've told friends who were for strong gun controls, I've been, that the problem has been that we didn't have the political support. Because the people who wanted unrestricted ownership of guns of all sorts cared more deeply about it, even though they were in the minority, than the average citizen who supported reasonable regulation, but it wasn't our priority. Connecticut's changed that. Mm-hmm. This terrible mass murder has now just elevated this, and I think we now have the opportunity to pass some good legislation.
I was listening to the 8-year-old brother of a 6-year-old who was murdered in that tragedy last Friday. And Katie Couric actually asked him, after meeting with the president, if you had more time with the president, what would you ask him to do? And he just said, I would ask him to do something now, to get something done about these weapons that shouldn't be in the hands of people. And I almost wonder if the president heard that in a sense, because he came out today, as I'm sure you heard, said he's going to put Joe Biden in control of a task force. And he said, you're going to come up with a plan by the end of January or by January. I want Congress to make it a priority. And he also said, you know, my bet is I'm going to have the support of the vast majority of Americans on this issue. Do you think that's right?
Yes, and obviously we want to do it quickly. January is pretty quick. You have to get it done right. You have people going to take it to court. You have a conservative Supreme Court majority that has already invalidated some laws controlling guns, although even that opinion by the most right-wing person probably ever to be on the Supreme Court, Antonin Scalia, said this doesn't mean that no regulation is possible. So we clearly can move on this. But and there were several aspects to it, both as to the weapons and then as to rules as to waiting periods before people can get the weapons and also ammunition. So I think that's a good timetable. And yes, I am confident that there are going to be new laws passed and some old laws that had been allowed to die brought back by the early spring.
You were in Congress, of course, in 1994 when the bill that the president referenced was written in part by Joe Biden, an assault weapons ban. What happened? Refresh our memory on why that thing just petered out 10 years
later.
Well,
it passed. Oh,
it did pass. Why did it
pass? Very simple. The Republicans controlled Congress. This has unfortunately been a partisan issue. I know it's fashionable to say it won't be partisan, but these are the facts. We passed the bill in 1994. With a Democratic House, Senate, and President. By the time it expired 10 years later in 2004, you had a Republican House, Senate, and President, and they killed the bill.
But why? Why would anyone want to let that go? Nobody wants anyone to have assault weapons, with the possible exception of the police or law enforcement. I'm not even sure I want them having them.
No, most Republicans at the time were in favor of people having assault weapons on the grounds that weapons don't kill people. People do. And if you get them to the right people, it's okay. Of course, there's a great flaw there. Some of them are now saying, well, don't ban the weapons. Just make sure they don't get into the hands of the wrong people. But among the things they have blocked were efforts to expand the waiting period for getting guns to gun shows. We did get in 1994 a restriction that if you went into a store to buy a gun, you had to wait 7 days so you could be checked out. But they kept that from covering these shows that will show up in an over weekend. And so that's been the opposition. But, you know, when you ask me why, you really got to ask them. But I will tell you, it wasn't an accident. They believe that restrictions on assault weapons were wrong, that people should be allowed to have them, that they're fun to shoot, that and a lot of other reasons that I don't understand. But there were enough of them on the Republican side in 2004 to block any extension of the bill.
A little earlier today, I was talking to Suffolk County District Attorney Dan Conley, and he was reminding me, not that I needed it, but that No, there's 10,000 or so, 12,000 maybe murders in the country a year, 10,000 of them by handguns. And they're not these assault weapons. You know, they're just regular old pistols, Saturday Night Special, whatever you want to call them. They're just guns. How is any kind of an assault ban, a weapons assault ban, going to affect that when most people die by that?
Well, that's what I was talking about. In addition to the ban, you have to have the waiting period. We had what was called the Brady Bill passed back in 94, named after James Brady. And it said that if you're going to buy a gun in a gun store, you've got to wait 7 days so we can check. And there are whole categories of people who are mentally ill, who've had criminal records, who've been guilty of violence, who can't get the guns. The problem is that they then have a proliferation of these gun shows where people show up and over a weekend they sell you guns. And the NRA and its allies have been able to block us from extending the waiting period to these gun shows. So in addition, as I said, to banning the assault weapons and dealing with these large chunks of ammunition, you need to make sure that there is no way anyone can legally buy a gun anywhere in America without having to wait 7 days to get that gun. Right now, that applies in some cases and not others. That's the way you deal with the handgun situation. Namely, nothing's going to be perfect, but you minimize the extent to which these guns get in the hands of people who are likely to misuse them.
Okay, you know, I understand the free market economy and all that, but I'm really wondering, Barney Frank, whether going after the manufacturers of some of these things, beyond the manufacturing of the high, you know, powered assault weapons and these heavy-duty magazine strips, these guns that are just used basically for killing, but they're not hunting guns. They're used to killing people. Can we not go after the manufacturers?
Well, it's hard legally. Remember, you have a 5-member Supreme Court majority, thanks to the election of 2000 and the fact that Bush got to appoint them, that has ruled that the Constitution protects the right of gun ownership, although even Scalia, as I said, did acknowledge that you can have reasonable restrictions on it. And the problem is if there was a constitutional right to own something, going after someone who's manufactured something that is constitutionally protected is problematic. So that's why going after the manufacturers would be a problem. Of course, we have put some restrictions on importation of these, but that Supreme Court decision would make it pretty hard, I think, to go after the manufacturers if you can't. On the other hand, if you can ban the sale of it, to most people, again, there would be some limited. By the way, you mentioned law enforcement. This is part of the problem, and I should mention this. People said, well, give law enforcement the same weapons. The problem is law enforcement's at a disadvantage here. The cops have to be worried about innocent bystanders. Mm-hmm. You know, the trouble with some of these weapons is they shoot everybody in sight, and so the cops are often outgunned. You can't equip police in crowded urban areas with these kind of weapons of mass destruction.
So what does it say about our society? I was listening to NPR, some report this morning that said that over the last few days, since last Friday, since the Newtown shootings, these high-capacity magazines that hold 60, 80 rounds, whatever mind-boggling number it is, have been wiped off the shelves of, you know, Dick's Sporting Goods and all these stores that sell this kind of stuff because people are afraid that Congress is going to come in and take their right to buy them, and they want them. What does it say that people want these things?
That there is a minority of people in the country who have some combination of irrational fear. Look, you have, you know, well, this is a country of 360 million people, so, you know, 1% is 1% of the adults is a couple of million people. They have these crazy notions that the government's going to come and confiscate their property. There are a whole range of, I guess, nutty reasons. There are some people who feel just reassured by having them. I wouldn't condemn the whole society. It's a fairly small minority, and that's why it's important to pass legislation.
Yeah. Well, I think nutty is a good reference. So, Congressman Barney Frank, you are leaving. By the way, are you out yet?
No, they. I'm.
Oh, that's right. You're still doing the thing.
Yeah, I want to send a note out to you, Emily. Help! I am trapped in a lame duck Congress.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we look forward to hearing more from you next year. I know you plan to be as noisy as ever, and we appreciate that. So
we'll
keep you going right here on 89.7.
I appreciate that.
You're looking
thank
to be
you.
Elsewhere, Congressman Barney Frank. Thanks
Bye.
For joining us. All right, that was Congressman Barney Frank. I see that Kelly Crossley is back in the studio.
Emily, we're going to talk to Republican strategist Pat Griffin and Democratic pundit Arnie Arneson about how both parties are rethinking their approach to gun regulation.
All righty, I'm Emily Rooney.
I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio.